Greetings, Sister Queens, and welcome to the Wild Mystic Woman podcast, an interview series of powerful conversations with modern mystics, wild women, soulful entrepreneurs, and divine feminine leaders. I'm your host, Leila Saad, and I'm a writer and mentor for spiritual women doing sacred work. In each episode, we hold intimate and holy conversations about the heroine's journey, the spiritual entrepreneurial journey, and what it means to be a wild mystic woman. Today, we are speaking to my dear friend, Sarah LaRosa. Sarah is a divine feminine writer, a spiritual guide, and a medicine woman of the soul. She is the author of Her Strange Angels, a book of invocations, beauty words, and divine presence. And she's also the founder of the Her Strange Angels community. Her deep passion is to bring healing love to the wounded and fearful heart through sacred poetry, meditations, and soulfully honest conversation. In person, Sarah maintains a bodywork practice where she blends massage therapy, energy healing, and soul work. Welcome to the show, Sarah.
Thank you, Leila. I'm so excited to be here with you today.
I am so excited to have you. This is a conversation that has been in the long time coming, right?
Yes, absolutely. It's one I've looked forward to so much.
Myself too. So just for the benefit of our listeners, Sarah and I connected earlier this year in 2016 through a mutual friend of ours, Hillary Rain, who is actually on the podcast as well. She's the very first episode of this podcast. And Hillary had invited both myself and Sarah to be in her Dear Artist program. And I had never heard of Sarah, and she had never heard of me. And our paths crossed, and our work, my work fell into her presence, her work fell into my presence, and we just instantly, I feel like we instantly fell in love with each other's souls.
Yes, that's a great way to put it. It was an instant sister recognition.
Definitely. It was it felt like divine sisterhood, you know, in the fullest sense of the word. And throughout the year, both Hillary and Sarah really supported me and held what felt like a womb space for me as I was still just gestating and making a lot of personal transformations. And so I had reached out to them because I just intuitively felt like they get it. They get what I'm going through. I was in the descent. I was working through a lot of things. I was shedding a lot of my identity. And both Sarah and Hillary were just so amazing in supporting me through that process. And so I'm so incredibly excited about our conversation today because both Sarah's support as a friend, but even more her book, Her Strange Angels, has been so just the support I've gotten through, you know, your friendship and your book has been so incredible. I highly recommend, I'm going to be putting the link on the show notes for your book, Her Strange Angels. I highly recommend it for any woman who's on the heroine's journey. As soon as I received it, I put it on my altar space and then it quickly moved to my bedside table because I was turning to it every day, for what felt like validation for what I was going through. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so,
and I actually, I experienced that myself when I go back and I use it as a devotional some mornings and just to reaffirm to me the voice of spirit in my own life. And I have that same experience, Leila. I'll open just intuitively to a passage and it's always the words that I need to hear in the moment to validate and to encourage me where I am in that moment. And it's always such a beautiful experience. It's something that I feel so much gratitude for. And to have other women experiencing that same energy, that same grace in the moment is such a gift. It's such a gift.
Oh, you are a gift. And I feel like this book is necessary for any woman who's on the wild mystic path, the heroine's journey of coming back home to yourself, of shedding, of coming into a new way of being in the world. I feel like this is a very necessary, sacred tool to have by your side, because it's, you know, when we're on this heroine's journey of shedding past identities and questioning things that we grew up with, things that we have believed for so much of our lives, a lot of the time, speaking from my own personal experience, a lot of the time I was questioning, you know, am I allowed to do this? Am I crazy? Am I making it up? Is it all in my head? Right? What if I'm wrong? What if everything I'm questioning about my religion and my culture and what it means to be a woman in this world, what if it's all wrong? And in those times of fear, having tools such as, you know, poetry, beauty words like this to turn to and see another woman who, and this is the thing that I love about your writing, Sarah. It never felt like you were talking to me as some wise woman in the sky who's, you know, removed from it. It felt like very personal. It felt like very personal words, like a woman who's been there in the dark, in the dark. She knows exactly what she's talking about. So I would love to talk about your book and your journey and what got you to writing this incredible book.
Yes. And what you just said, that just gave me tingles all over, because what I felt as I gathered these writings together, and my intention, and what I felt the intention of spirit was exactly what you just said, to speak to women in a way that represented the place that they were at in the moment, not the place to attain to, but the place where they were at in the moment, and to recognize that space is holy. So being in the blood, being in the mud, being on that quest, which so often feels lonely and isolating and sometimes needs to be, that space is a sacred space, and it gets sidelined so much of the time, not just in our religious upbringing, our traditional cultures, but even in a lot of the New Age movement, it gets sidelined for ascension language and transcendence language. And while all of those concepts are beautiful, and they definitely, of course, have a place, and I live out in the stars a lot of the time myself, we're in these human incarnations having these muddy, bloody experiences, and there's treasure to be mined from them. So to find beauty words inside the mud, for me, is infinitely powerful. It's infinitely nourishing. And that's where my heart was as I gathered these words together. And I have felt that is where the heart of spirit was in me as I pulled these messages together. And that's the healing message that it's been in my own life. And what I've heard from other women, I've heard that same sensibility. It's been such a pleasure to hear that that's what it's accomplished over and over again.
Absolutely. What you're speaking to is very much a divine feminine experience. It's Inanna, right? In the underworld. It's Kalima. It's not going out of body. It's going deep down into body. And I'm so curious about where this was birthed from, you know, what was the fertile soil that got you to this place?
Yes, that's a great question. I was raised in fundamental Christianity with a very dominating, charismatic father. And after I grew up and moved out on my own and was doing adulthood, I made the conscious decision to completely walk away from all of the religious teachings that I was raised with. And a lot of it was fear-based. A lot of it was do this, believe this, say these words, act this way, or you're going to hell. And so that was my origin story. And walking away from that, I have to laugh about it because I find it so delightful how spirit finds us in such different ways. And spirit found me when I picked up a copy of The Da Vinci Code. And I was reading about this divine feminine. I had never heard those words put together before, ever. Mm-hmm. And the moment that I read them in the pages, I had this bolt of electricity go through me. And it felt familiar. And it felt like, this is it. This is what I've been missing. There's something here. And why has it been kept from me? Why was it kept as a secret from me for so long? And so I began studying. And out of that place and learning about the Black Madonna and the Dark Feminine, there was something about that Blackness, something about that darkness that called to me that felt safe and felt powerful and felt like the truth that had been shuttered and demonized in my life, my whole life. And so I was compelled to explore that space. I was compelled and I felt almost obsessive about it. I couldn't let it go. And you mentioned Inanna earlier. She was a patron goddess of mine for years because I felt like this, and we descend over and over again because we live cyclically, but I felt like I was in this place of descent for years. And the shedding process took years. And so she was right there with me the whole time. And actually, 95% of this book was written in those years of descent. And so I feel like its potency and its rawness is so evident because I was living my descent during the time that I was writing it.
Mm. Yeah, it can be felt. That's so interesting. Yeah, because it's so interesting you say that because I think, yeah, if you had been past it, there's a different kind of energy once we ascend and rebirth, right? There's a different perspective. Yeah, that's incredible. So, you know, I was reading the bio on your website, your story, and you talked about growing up in this very religious family, and that you yourself were taking leadership roles. By the time you were 17, you were a prayer leader, you were a worship leader, you were a youth counselor. And so to go from having that level of that, to go from having your religion be so important to your life in that way at that age, to go from that to what you're explaining now, what was that like? I mean, the destruction, the coming apart. I would love, you know, to share that because I think so many women who are part of the Wild Mystic Woman community are on this journey and it can feel like you're going crazy.
Yes. Mm. Well, and I think in a small way, maybe you are, and maybe that's necessary, and maybe it's important to remember that that's not the end of your story. And it was all of those things, Layla. It was frightening, and there were so many moments where I would question myself, and I would second guess, and what if I'm wrong? What if the way that I grew up really is the way the world works, and I'm damned now and condemned? I lost friends, I lost family members, people walked away from me, or, you know, I walked away from that belief structure and that way of life. And so it was more than just a mental, emotional paradigm shift. It was an entire life shift. It was an earthquake. It was tectonic. And there was a lot of discomfort and there was a lot of courage that was required on a daily basis. And I remember through those initial years, I really felt like I had this split personality because half of me was in this state of exhilaration over what I was discovering and learning and becoming. And the other part of me was terrified and questioning and felt like this naughty little girl who had done some terrible sin and I was about to be discovered. And so it was a very intense place to inhabit on a daily basis. And for a long time, it didn't let up. And it was also very lonely. And I know I've said that before, and I want to come back to it because I'm just feeling really impressed right now to tell your listeners that this path initially can be very lonely. And when you're walking the path of the divine feminine and you're entering descent, which we all enter, and it's so important for the unbecoming of us and the undoing of us before we can become into a new being, a lot of that is required to be done in the dark and in isolation, so that you develop a keen sensibility and a keen ear to hear the voice of the spirit within you. And there's been so much noise inside of us that we have to get to a place of quiet to be able to hear the true voice, the real voice that isn't the critic and the judge. And so it can feel like, where's my tribe? Where's my people? And for those of us who came from religious backgrounds where fellowship and community and congregation and parishioners, fellow parishioners are emphasized as being necessary and divinely ordained, you can feel like this lone wolf out in the middle of the forest and there's no company to be had, no encouragement. That by itself can be very frightening. And it was. But you're compelled. You have to continue on. That's the call. And at some point, you begin to discover others. And you realize, oh my God, this isn't just my story. And this isn't just their story. This is the story. This is how it works. This is how we find one another in authenticity. This is how we find one another. We recognize each other's wounds. We recognize each other's scars. And it becomes this beautiful discovery. So as painful and as frightening as it was and can be and is for so many on this path, and at the risk of sounding totally cliched and annoying, it is absolutely worth it, because you do discover your sisterhood and you discover this untapped reservoir of wisdom and counsel and power within yourself that was not allowed in the spaces and the way of thinking and believing before you arrived to that isolated place.
I could listen to you forever. That was soul medicine. So, so good. I really felt that. And as you were speaking, I smiled, because a lot of what you were talking about just now links very much to the three cards that I selected for the conversation. So let me tell you what they were, because I think you've gone over them already.
I can't wait.
The first is from Alana Fairchild's Sacred Rebels deck, and it is the card, What Do You Feel? And so that card is, you know, I was reading through the description of what it was about, and it was talking about hearing so many different opinions of other people and getting lost on what to do, where do I go, what shall I choose? And this card really calls us to tune back into, what do you feel? What do you want? What is it that's wanting to come from you? And I really felt that when you were talking about coming from a community, a religious community, to becoming this lone wolf. The second card is from Danielle Laporte's Truth Bomb deck, and it says, be done with enduring.
Oh, that's awesome. Oh, I love that.
So we can talk about that in a minute as well. And then the third card is from the Wild Unknown Tarot deck, and it is the Death card.
Yes. Oh, I love it. This is such a powerful trio.
They are. I told you at the beginning, just before we hit record, I've picked these three cards and they are powerful. I would love for you to riff on these three cards, whatever wants to come through you.
Yes. Oh gosh. And I feel like we just perfectly set that up. Spirit is so here right now. This is wonderful. That first card, What Do You Feel? Yes, this is the path, you guys. This is the sacred call. We, especially those of us who have been raised in these fundamentalist religions, and of course not just us, but it's so very obvious and on the sleeve with fundamentalist religions and with traditions and cultures whose values and their principles are based so much on this is right, this is wrong, this is danger, don't walk here, step carefully this way. And we are trained to believe that there's only that path. And if we veer off of it or even think of veering off of it, we're entering into this very frightening, very dangerous, risky place where we're going to be swallowed up by the demons in the darkness and no one will hear from us again. And that's communicated to us in myriad ways. And it's so powerful in shaping our psyches as children and then as teenage women, especially because we're trying to discover ourselves as women, but we're not quite there yet. So it can be so such a strong influence. And what spirit calls to us and what spirit speaks to us, that little voice inside who's yearning for something different. And what this whole wild mystic woman is about is, what do you feel? It doesn't matter what Layla feels or what I feel or what Danielle Laporte feels or Elizabeth Gilbert feels. These people who are such beautiful voices, it's wonderful that they're sharing what they feel and their message. But what is your voice? What is your colors? What are the sounds and the images and the yearnings that are inside of your soul? And the reason why we ask that and the reason why we ask it with such passion is we need you. We need your voice and your colors. We need your yearnings. And we can't receive the benefit of those things. We can't be nourished by your giftings if you don't know what it is that you feel and what you want. What is your desire? That desire that's inside of you, it's a seed and it's breathed upon by spirit. And that is your work. That is your calling. That's the thing. That's the magical seed that needs to be discovered inside of yourself. Mm-hmm. And so I am begging all women, find what that little voice is. What is it that you feel? Don't copy your work off of somebody else's. Don't think that you need a particular guru to set you straight. What is inside of you already is your work. That is your calling. That is your blessed, holy superpower. Go to that place. Mm. I love that. I love that. And that is such a beautiful message from a deck that's the secret. It's in its name, Sacred Rebels. Mm-hmm. We are rebels. We're rebelling against the foundation. We're rebelling against the patriarchy. We're rebelling against all of the voices and ideas that tell us this is the way it's been. This is the way it should always be. And don't you dare speak a word against it. And we're saying in holiness and in sovereignty, no, I'm going to follow what I feel, because what I feel isn't some random thing. It's not some random emotion. That is pneuma. That is the breath of spirit in me. And I'm going to follow that voice. So that is the most important work of our life. We could talk about that forever. Just that yes. One line. So important.
Yes.
And then go ahead.
No, I was just going to say yes. Mm-hmm. I was also going to say something that I've seen in my own journey is that there are days and there are times when I know that all of what you've just said deeply in my heart, and there is no one who can tell me otherwise. And then there are days when kind of my spiritual defenses are down and doubt does creep in. It happened very recently, a few days ago, and I was just knocked out. I mean, I just was like, whoa, what if everything I've been working on for the last 6 months is a complete lie and I'm going to hell? Mm-hmm. And what if the divine feminine isn't even real and God just really is really angry with me for being off the path, but I think I'm on the path? And that kind of internal dialogue. Where do you find your anchor when that happens? Like, because there's no way we can prove this way or that way scientifically or otherwise, right? It is, I think, a matter of inner, for me, it's a place of, I guess, of saying, this is what I choose to believe though. You know, this is what feels most true to me.
Right.
Yeah. How do you navigate that?
Well, so I sort of don't have just one formula. It depends on the mood I'm in and kind of what is the strongest voice in me at the moment. So from an intellectual standpoint, what I used to do, I'd have these little, like safe spaces, like these little cages that I'd bring myself to where I could be safe in those spots while I processed and worked through these. And for the first several years that I was on my journey out of religion and into the wild feminine, I had to do this because I was surrounded by people and voices and my own internal dialogue that would come to me and do exactly what you just said. What if everything that I've been experiencing and feeling is everything that my dad warned me about as a kid, and I've been deceived, and now I'm going to be, you know, in hell, and I'm in rebellion against God, and I'm in for it now. So one of my intellectual go-tos in that, because I have a very loud brain and it likes to run everything, so I'd give it its time here and there. I would remind myself that any spiritual tradition, any way of life that has been perpetuated or embraced by groups of people, large or small, always began with a human being having an experience with the divine. And that has been interpreted myriad times in numerous texts in a way that spoke to or resonated or appealed to people from all over the place. But it always began with a human in interaction with the divine. And so intellectually, I would remind myself of that. And then I would say, I'm a human. I'm having an encounter with the divine. Why is my encounter any less legitimate or valid than that human's? Because in the eyes of God, we're all loved. We're all God's children. So why is it that God can't speak to me? So that was one place that I would go to. And then another place that I would go to is I would remind myself that my heart and my soul, more than anything else in this world, wanted communion with God. I desperately wanted communion with God. I wanted to hear the voice of God. I wanted to be with God. I wanted to be in the center of God's will. And so I had to trust, Layla, that God was big enough to find me and discover me in that place of yearning and longing, and would not allow me to fall into a place of deception, because I knew that my heart was pure. I was not seeking power. I was not looking to lord it over anyone else. I was not looking to create a religion and sway people to my way of life. What I was seeking more than anything was freedom of worship and to be in the heart of the divine. And so I had to believe God knows that and God's going to find me there. And it didn't happen overnight, but those were two very, very powerful tools that assisted me in my journey through the desert, you know, coming out of that place of religious captivity and into a more free, open space where I can move around and realize, oh my gosh, I can breathe now. Not only am I safe, but I'm empowered in this place. And today, those voices and those fears and those anxieties, they don't even bother. They don't even bother showing up. And it's not that my interactions with people who do believe that way have changed all that much, but I have changed. Mm. And I am less afraid and I am less anxious because I've spent years now reminding myself and knowing the truth inside of myself that God is big enough to find me where I am. And if God isn't big enough, I don't want to serve him anyway, because that would make him cruel and unjust.
Yeah. Yes. I'm actually writing that down. God is big enough to find me where I am. I think I'm going to stamp that on my head. That is such a, that's so beautiful. when I was in the depths, you know, just a few days ago where I was going through this, what I found really helpful for me was tuning into, okay, maybe I don't know if this is right or this is wrong or what's going on, but what do I know? And the first thing I wrote is that I know that God is unconditional love. And so if that's the case, then I know the other thing that you were saying, which was, I also know that I'm coming from a place of pure intention to have a closer and more direct and more visceral and real experience and connection relationship to God. And so I'm just trying to love God, and God's just trying to love me.
That's right. That's right. And you know, I've met so many people over the years in my career inside of church. I've met people, most people I've met, they're looking for the same thing. They're looking for communion with the divine, because we are soulful beings. We are eternal beings who are having this experience in body, where we have this treasure map, and we're searching for God. We're always searching for God. And that, you know, that's at the root of our addictions, of our pain, of all of these obstacles we find ourselves struggling with. We're all searching for God, because inside of that is joy and peace and liberation of movement. And so I have to remind myself in those moments where I feel very outside of what everyone else calls the truth, the traditions and the celebrations, and even the language is different. When you move into divine feminine consciousness, you start speaking differently. And so it can feel, you can feel very odd, and you can feel very awkward at times. And but I met a lot of people in my years who were not searching for truth, and they were looking to have power over others. And yet they were in the prescribed religion. They were saying the right words, and they were performing the accepted rituals, and they were in the right churches. And so, you know, do they have the ear of God? I mean, we are all on this path where we're journeying towards truth, and we're looking for joy, and we're looking for nourishment. And so I do trust, and I do believe at the very root of myself, that the bigness of God, that the bigness of divine truth and love is going to find me in every moment of every day. And it's going to find me easily, because my heart is reaching towards that. Always, my heart is reaching towards that. So it's really served as medicine to shut up the voice of fear inside of me that comes and condemns. And it's interesting, because in all of these years that I've been studying and communing in a divine feminine way and writing from that place, it has never once spoken to me in a voice of fear or hate or judgment, ever. It's certainly come to me many times in a very firm voice and let me know, you know, this needs to be dealt with, this needs to be adjusted. But those moments are always still very loving and kind. So when I think about all the stories I was told about, you know, not letting the devil have my mind and not allowing demons to come in and influence me, that has been so far from my experience. I have not had a mystical experience of fear and sadness and terror. It's all been love, the love of God. How can I better love this person? How can I extend compassion to myself and to others? Oh, you're angry at that person. They said something really nasty to you. Okay, well, what are you going to do with that? You're going to cut them off because they don't think the way you do? No, you're going to extend compassion to them, because that's what Spirit is calling you to do. How can you speak the truth in love? And that has always been at the center of the voice that comes to me. That is a voice I can trust. That is a voice I will always trust. A voice that divides and cuts people off, or cuts me off from myself, that is not a voice that I can trust. And yet that was the voice I was told was God for my whole life until I walked away from it. So I remind myself of these things when I have experiences where I begin questioning, or someone else questions me. I remind myself of that, and it helps. It really does.
Yeah, and I've realized as I heard you say that I actually have been doing that, where I've questioned, okay, well, if this is all wrong, how come this journey that I've been on has been the thing that has really told me to do my inner work, has been the thing that has told me, you need to forgive, you need to heal, you need to strengthen your boundaries, you need to step into your courage, you need to open up your heart. These things, I wasn't doing them in this big and really kind of compelled way before until I started on this divine feminine journey. And so, yeah, that, I mean, if that's supposed to be bad, you know, the devil, evil, it doesn't feel like it. It doesn't seem like it. I feel like I have become a better and better person. And the ripple effect that that has had on the people who are in contact with me has caused them to also do their inner work too.
Yes, and that by itself is a testimony to truth. Because like you, I spent so many years doing and saying all of the things that I felt like I was supposed to say and do that would be honorable before God. And yet in my heart, I was always starting from a place of anxiety that said, I have to do this or he's going to get mad at me. Mm-hmm. And now the work that I do, the prayer that I find myself in, the meditation that I go to, it's because I am driven to commune and to grow and to understand and to offer up love to myself and others. That's a whole different way of being and living and doing. And I would much rather do and be and live from that place than the place I was coming from before, any day, any day.
Mm-hmm. Soul medicine. Oh, so good. Is there anything else you'd like to say about the other two cards? I know I cut you off with my question.
Yeah, I know. We knew this was going to happen, Layla. Yes, absolutely. And I'll try to be quick so that we don't go over. I think that this next one, the Danielle Laporte card, be done with enduring, that, wow, that is really loaded and it has so much power in it. And for women especially, I think that this is an incredibly powerful message. We are taught that enduring is our job, it's our obligation, and we're trained to endure. And that while there is value and it is honorable to have an enduring spirit so that we can navigate through those dark times, and especially when we find ourselves in a space of descent, that is not the end game. That's not our birthright. Enduring is something to be used temporarily so that we can move into thriving. Mm-hmm. And I'm in a space now where Spirit has been telling me this so clearly. It's time. Stop enduring. Start thriving. Be seen. Be visible. Get out there. What is it that you really feel? Speak that. Speak it out loud. Begin to show others how to thrive. And, you know, we're not martyrs. Stop being a martyr. And I think that that message goes straight to that. And that's a beautiful follow-up to what do you feel? Because if you're really living inside of your truth and honoring the deep feeling that you have, that deep desire that's calling you, that voice of spirit, then you can't allow yourself to endure any longer because you're going to find yourself in a place of thriving every time. Mm-hmm. That's what pulls us to the heart of the beloved. And that doesn't leave any space for enduring day to day, you know? Mm-hmm. And then with the wild unknown, the death card, yeah, get ready. I mean, death is just, you know, it's beginning of the beginning. Every ending is a beginning. But that requires us to leave behind the old way of doing. And even for me right now, I mean, this card just personally is so appropriate right now because I am moving into new things and new offerings. And in order to lay hold of those things, I have to let go of what's come before and trust it to stand on its own and not be, you know, I can't be babysitting it and handholding it. I've got to let it go and allow this new life to be birthed. And so that's its own courage. That requires its own set of courage. And that's another leave-taking that has to happen. And I think that's what's so beautiful about living in divine feminine consciousness is you begin to understand that we don't live this linear path. There's no beginning, middle, and end. We live in spirals and we cycle back to these themes over and over and over again. And what's wonderfully affirming to us is as we grow and as we cycle, we discover, wow, I navigated that a bit more smoothly this time because I learned from the last time. And it's incredibly encouraging. So these cards are just exquisite today.
They are spot on. They are spot on. And it's so funny because as you were talking, I was like, oh, I forgot to ask the very first question that I had wanted to ask you right at the beginning, which I feel I forgot it. I think the divine asked me to forget it so that I could ask it afterwards. Mm-hmm. Because with everything that you've said on this conversation, I mean, I know I'm going to be listening to it again and again. I would love to know, what do you most love about being a wild mystic woman?
Oh gosh, it is the most magical way to live, in my view. And it's all about magic and freedom. It's the magic that we discover inside of ourselves, this deep well of information, of spirit information, the voice that comes to us that teaches us how to live and shows us how to teach others, of unconditional love, of empowerment, and then the freedom that that brings. You are required to step out of the prescribed formulas for life that you're raised in. And once you gather up the courage to do that, and then you look around you, you discover, oh my God, I have all this freedom. I can dance freely. I can move my body freely. And my arms and my legs and my neck have been so stiff in this place. And I didn't realize that I've been living in this crouch for so long. And when you come into that space of that wild, mystic, divine, feminine way of being, you discover, I can move freely in this place. I can go after this yearning, and I can experiment with this desire, and I can listen to this voice of spirit that comes to me. And oh my God, look at how that touched another person. And you discover that you really are a channel, you know, and it's this beautiful, magical reality that you begin to inhabit. You start to realize that magic isn't just a story or a fairy tale that you tell your children as they go to sleep at night, but that you're actually living it. You're operating in it. You're working with it, and that it's changing you, and you're becoming this new thing. It's the most magical, free way of life I've lived. And I can't imagine relinquishing that. I couldn't imagine walking away from that sort of beauty. It's a beautiful, beautiful way to live.
It's like once you know it, once you've tasted it, you can't give it up, right? You can't go back. There was a quote by, it was you. I'm so thankful to you because you introduced me to this book, Dance of the Dissident Daughter by Sue Monk Kidd. Trying to find the quote, I posted it on Instagram. She said, where is it? Oh, here it is. She said, once you know the truth, you can't ever go back and pick up your suitcase of lies. Heavier or not, the truth is yours now.
Yes. Oh, I just got chills all over the place. Yes. And that's what it feels like. You know, when you finally get past the place of fear about doing the wrong thing or saying the wrong thing or walking away from that, with time and distance, you're able to look back at that and realize, God, that suitcase, that was really heavy. And it kind of was pulling my shoulder out of joint. My muscles are sore. My neck is all wonky. And you know, I don't want to live carrying that thing around, lugging it around with me all over the place. There is this freedom of movement that we are promised. And in all of the sacred texts, in all of the religions around the world, they all speak to this promise. They all speak to this birthright of the liberation of movement, of following the divine voice, of hearing the voice of spirit. So if that's the end goal, if that's our mission, then this is a beautiful, beautiful path to arrive at that place. And more than that, it's not just a beautiful way to live and be. This is where we begin to heal our world. This is where we begin to heal ourselves and heal other women. And that is the calling that so many of us feel right now, is that our life is not our own. not in a disempowering way, but in a very powerful way, that we are here for a reason. We're here to heal. And in our own healing, we will heal others and show them how to heal themselves. And I can't think of a more beautiful way to spend my time.
Oh, so beautiful. This question has been knocking on my head the whole time you've been speaking, and so I'm going to ask it.
Please.
We've talked about God in this conversation. We've talked about the divine. We've talked about the divine feminine. We haven't mentioned the word goddess. I would love to know, what does the goddess mean to you? What is your relationship to her?
Yes. She has been my North Star. When I walked away from the patriarchy, really, I wasn't even in a form of Christianity that really honored Mother Mary. It was all about God the Father and Jesus, and the Holy Spirit was some bird that was flying around and all over the place and was very impersonal. When I moved into goddess spirituality, and I was reading Starhawk and Vicki Noble, and I was looking, pouring through the artwork of Meinrad Craighead, and these images of goddess, these images of her and she, and a lot of my writing uses those words in capitals, her and she. There was this deep, pungent, soil-smelling sensibility to her and her motherliness. And I needed that sacred mother. I needed that holy mother that was seated in wisdom, that Black Madonna. Her face, as it came to me, and her voice, as it came to me, was so restorative and so healing to me after years and years and years of this wounded masculine presence in my life. And that coupled with the father that I had growing up, and a lot of brothers, and just a lot of male energy, that goddess energy was extraordinarily healing for me. And as I work with her now, as I mentioned before, Inanna has been very much a patron goddess of mine. She's been sort of like this blackened older sister that's walked the corridors with me. And even her sister, Arish Kigal, who is the one that hung her up for her own death and resurrection when she finally arrived at the center of the underworld. Those images, that imagery has been seeding for me. It has planted a new awareness in me of who I am and who I'm called to be. And it has been intimate in a way that God the Father, for me personally, never was. God the Father, for me, always felt impersonal and out there somewhere, and I had to do what I needed to do to please him. And I've reconciled a lot of that now, but for my experience with goddess energy in particular, it was always immediate. It was always right within my body. She was always instantly accessible to me and continues to be now. And now I'm reading this amazing book. I'm going through it, called The Sophia Code. Mm-hmm. And I know that you've got that book too, Layla. Mm-hmm. Many of us do. And the key codes that are written in this channel text, where you are coming into communion with these different goddesses, has been transformative in a way that I honestly didn't expect to be transformed at this point in my journey. I felt like I had this basic understanding and knowledge of the goddess in my life, and working through these key codes and experiencing communion and intimate interaction with these different faces of the divine has again been transformational and unraveling and filling in ways that just serve to remind me, this is why I do this. this is why I'm walking this path, because this is the truth of my deepest soul, and it could have been no other way. So she's been the powerhouse in my life. She gives me courage. She's the voice of the lion. You know, she doesn't take any crap from anybody, and she infuses me with courage when I need it most. And then she's always there to lick my wounds afterwards. And I have built my life around her heart, and it's been the joy of my spiritual life.
I feel like she is so necessary for so many women. I feel like in the patriarchal world that we live in, I think this is true whether or not you're on this spiritual journey. The world that we live in, the patriarchal system, the oppression, the abuse, the injustice, the inequality, it's things are not set up to honor us as equals, right? And so for me, the divine feminine, the goddess has been this place to be held. I was recently reading, have you read the book Love Warrior by Glennon Doyle Melton?
Yes. Oh, wonderful, wonderful book.
I love that book. So I was rereading it, and I was reading the scene where she has entered the church. Her parents have asked her to go to the church and speak to the priest because her life is so messed up, and she's a drunk, and she had an abortion, and all of this stuff. And she talks about when she enters and she sees the Mother Mary there, and the comparison between the feelings of what she feels there compared to what the priest and the church is representing. And I thought, that's just it, isn't it? That's it.
It is. You know, she gives us our voice, where we've been silenced. And exactly what you just said, how the representations of God, the representations of the divine, have largely been male for thousands of years. And our spiritual sensibilities as women have been disenfranchised for a really long time. And so to welcome in, to acknowledge, and to step into goddess power, and to own her as our mother. She is our bio mom. That is to reclaim all of the voice and all of the teeth and all of the claws that have been ripped from us, or that we relinquished out of fear of being killed. And to step back into her sensibilities, to step back into her truth and her darkness and her depth and her deep womb space, is to reclaim ourselves and to remember what home smells like. And then when we're there, when we're in that space, now we can bring that protective, amazingly powerful healing energy, not only to heal our own wounds, but to bring that to others. Mm-hmm. And what an impetus, what a catalyst, what an incredible source point to be speaking from and walking in. That is very powerful stuff. And to reclaim thousands of years of wounding and silencing, really. That silencing piece is so strong in me. I've committed in my life that I will not silence myself any longer, and I will not allow myself to be silenced. And she is the power behind that commitment. She is the power behind that declaration of independence. She's that freedom of movement. You know, she's that root. And that's where I return to again and again. And I, like you said, I think that I know that that's where so many women return to receive nourishment from that dark root, because she's what we've been missing.
Mm-hmm. Yes. This is such a perfect segue into what I wanted to talk about next, which was, I feel like you are a sacred truth teller. I feel like I resonate so deeply with you because truth is such a huge value of mine. And I see you kind of as a big sister in a lot of ways, because this was the year that I owned my place as a writer, and I see you have this beautiful book, and you write so beautifully, and you speak these real truths. As I'm kind of embodying more of that, and as I'm working with the women that I work with who are also wanting to embody that, who are wanting to show up and say, this is me, this is what I believe, this is what I want to share. There is a lot of fear around, like that kind of persecution, fear of being burnt as a witch, you know? Fear of being criticized for believing the things that we believe, for showing up in the strange, mystical, wild women ways that we want to show up. What advice do you have for women who are on that, the edge of that cliff? They're ready. This is what I hear from so many of the women that I speak to. They're ready. They're ready to be visible. They're ready to put their true selves out there. They're really wanting to write and share their truths in this way. I feel like it's one thing to go through the journey yourself and have, you know, have these lessons for yourself. It's a whole other thing to say, and now I'm going to share this message with the world, and it's going to be my sacred work.
Yes, those are two different births, and one is prerequisite for the other. And yet, once you complete that birthing of yourself into that new level of understanding, there is a mandate on you to bring that out to the world. And that the way that that's done is going to be different for every woman. There, you know, as many ideas as there are to communicate, there are going to be ways to do it, and women are going to find their own way to do that. But that feeling of, oh my God, okay, if I post that status update, if I post that blog and publish it, if I send out that newsletter, if I write this book, what's going to happen? I feel like I can say pretty confidently that every woman who has answered that call and published that post, or sent that message out, or wrote the book, has had that thought and feeling at least once. I know I am no exception, and that voice, that inner critic, that inner terrorizer that tells you, you know, you're going to put yourself in danger, you're going to be ostracized, that is a real voice, and it comes to all of us. So the things that I have done to help myself through that are I have surrounded myself with the message that I feel called to. And what I mean by that is I have cleared out my Facebook feed of everybody and everything that does not support my calling. So I will not feed my eyes and my heart with messages and opinions and ways of being that are not supportive of what I'm called to do, because all of it is collecting in my psyche and my heart, and it's all energy, and I need to be clean. I need to feel supported and nurtured. And so my feed is filled with you, Layla, and Hillary, and goddess pages, and all of these different people and pages that fully support and embody and inhabit the same spaces that I do. If I need to get my fill of the news, it is so easy to do that. It's everywhere. But I'm no longer going to hold on to social media relationships that are not serving my highest good. And so I've done away with them. And, you know, that doesn't mean I have to unfriend people necessarily, but I can certainly stop following them so that they're not showing up in my feed. That's one practical tip. The other thing that I would do and continue to do is I have books and websites that I go to regularly where I read women authors who are speaking the same language. So that helps to remind me that I'm not alone. I'm not the only voice out there who's speaking this and writing this. I'm surrounded by wise women all over the planet in a multitude of countries. And we are all hungry for and thirsty for the same thing. And it's good to be reminded of that, because then you realize even though I can feel isolated and like I'm required to take on this courage of forging a path, I'm not truly alone. I am surrounded by amazing souls who are doing the same work in their own way. So that can be really, really comforting when you're having to embody courage day in and day out to answer your calling. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing that I do with writing in particular, I didn't sit down to write Her Strange Angels as a book. That's not how it happened. These writings, they came from my journal. And so I think that for women, especially writers, there is a tremendous power in keeping a regular journal practice. Because in that private space of journaling, whether it's late at night or early in the morning, at the very least, space where you're going to be uninterrupted and it's quiet, that's where we hear the voice of spirit. And that's where the authentic, real, raw words pour out of us. And then from there, you begin to see, oh my God, these words, they need to be shared. And so the book begins to form. And that's how it was for me. And that was a safe container for the words to be birthed. And then my techie self, my linear self, was able to take over from there and actually form the book itself. But to be birthed, the spirit of the book needed to be birthed in a safe, quiet space, just like when you're giving birth to a human or an animal gives birth to a litter, they go to a place that's private and safe. They're not being bombarded by voices and bright light and lots of sound and a lot of interference. There needs to be a safety of quiet and stillness when you birth these truths. And the courage, you know, it comes in later when you're pulling that together and then you're offering it up to the world. But those are the tools that I found that have assisted me as I've offered up my creations to the world. And that process and that sort of courage will continue to be required of me as I continue to offer up new things moving forward, some very soon in the next 3 months.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I cannot wait to see what you're putting out there. just on that last piece that you mentioned, what you said about, you know, I didn't set out to write a book. I think that's so interesting because I find that it's been the same for me this year, where a lot of the things that I have been sharing, they've not intended to be blog posts or things that are necessarily, this is an important thing that I'm creating for other people. It's always been, this is information that is coming to me for me. And so it will come to me, I will write it down. And then later my kind of techie brain, the kind of divine masculine will take over and say, okay, this is how we need to turn it around now to make it useful for other people. I feel like if we're trying to share these truths, to become writers, to become artists, if we're coming from a place of this has got to be, you know, this magical, incredible book or this magical, incredible blog post that changes people's lives, there is so much pressure there. And then you lose the magic. You become disconnected from the divine flowing through you, and you're having to do a lot of the legwork from your own brain.
Right. And, you know, there is a plethora of creative, brilliant ideas out there on any topic that you would wish to explore. And so much of it is written from people's brains. And that's great. That is wonderful. There's nothing wrong with that. But when we're talking about this kind of work, where we're talking about connecting with the divine feminine, connecting with goddess energy, connecting with that deeper well inside of our spirit that accesses the voice of God, and then offering that up to others. And I'm saying this because I have a sense that the majority of the women listening to you, Layla, are leaders, either in the closet or just emerging out of the closet. They're feeling that call towards women's leadership in some form. That we need to access a deeper well. And to be able to offer up our voice and our writing to other women for the healing of them and our world, that work has to be spirit infused. And it can't be spirit infused if we are sitting down and saying, okay, I will now create a book. I will now create this life-changing work. And to set the intention is absolutely necessary, and that's wonderful. But these things, they flow like water, and they need to be allowed to flow like water. And only from a place of stillness and softness inside of ourselves can we access that place of quiet that says, come, Spirit, come to me. Here I am. I'm listening. What do you have to say to me? Those words that flow through us, the images that flow through us, the paintings that flow through the artists who put it on canvas, and the songwriters and the musicians, all of that has to flow through them first before it can then move out onto the medium that they're using. And so, of course, it's going to be for us first. That's the way that this works. We are healed and touched and blessed first. And then from that place, we have something to say about it. We can say, I can testify, sister, this was incredibly healing for me. Let me offer it to you. This is a beautiful piece of food. Let's enjoy it together, because we've been there and we know, and it lends credibility to the experience. And that breaking of bread is so holy because we've tasted it first, you know, it's a beautiful thing.
That's so beautiful. Yeah. I was going to say, when you said, you get the feeling that the women who are listening to this are leaders or awakening leaders. And I thought, yeah, they are. They are the leaders of the new paradigm. And then I thought, no, they're not the leaders of the new paradigm. They're leaders of the original paradigm, the ancient paradigm. They are the priestesses, the witches, the mystics, the crones. We are tuning back into her. And when you said about being nourished from a deeper root, this is what you're talking about.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, that reclaiming of ancient wisdom, we've been there and done that. And so really what this is about remembering. We're remembering who we are. We're remembering how to work magic. We're remembering how to speak beauty words that are really spells that unlock things, and they're keys, and they open things, and they show others this way. This is how you can access this, and try it that way, and let's move it this way and tilt it that way. We bend things, and we mold and we shape things, and learning how to navigate in that place, showing each other how to do it. That is hugely healing to reclaiming who we've been from the beginning. And that this whole idea of the new age, it's quite old. Mm-hmm. It's quite ancient. And and being able to own these words, like witch, like goddess, like priestess, these words, they feel salty and they feel dark and they feel heavy in the mouth, because they are loaded with meaning and they're loaded with this dense kind of power that we're pulling back to ourselves and saying, no, I'm not taking up this path. I'm returning to this path. And I know how to find power in this place. I know how to listen for the voice of spirit in this place. Here, let me show you. Let me hold out my hand and help you, sister, and remind you how to walk in this place. That's what I'm all about. That's what you're all about. And that's what the women listening to your podcast are all about. It's good to heal for ourselves. That is wonderful. But we're called to something in addition to that. Because we're healing ourselves, we're called to heal one another and open that up for our sisters and our children and our husbands and our brothers and our fathers and the institutions that have shut us out.
Oh, that felt so good. Oh, that's the perfect, that is the perfect time to move into what would normally be the quick fire round. But what I've asked Sarah to do instead is to intuitively choose a poem from her book, Her Strange Angels. Something that, Sarah, that you feel is most wanting to come through today to whoever's tuning into this podcast. each poem that I've been through in the book has always been perfect. And so I couldn't choose. So I said, you choose. So Sarah's going to choose a poem and she is going to read it for us. And I really, yeah, just sink into these words because they are just soul nourishment.
Thank you, Layla. So this one is called Rosary to a Dark Mother. She is the disturber of souls, this black god mother. My own soul instinctively reaches out for her like a trusting child, even as my frightened mind recoils from her darkness time and time again. She permeates everything, diffuses all nighted light, penetrates every neglected crook and cranny, shining her deep blackness into our center. She is visceral sensibility, always appropriate in her untamed wildness. We see our desperate need for rebirth in her waters, yet fear the unwinding at her hands that we know is prerequisite to glorious emergence. She carries our fear quite competently and always compassionately. We need not be terrorized. She is the healer of all healers, the first and always wise woman witch. There is an abundance of spirit to be found in witnessing her skilled hand, and I have found solace in her sanctuaries. She calls me by name, and I am gratefully found, gathered up by her seeking spirit from rock-strewn roads, stumbling toward her clumsily, blinded by so many glaring distractions, relieved to be taken in at last, tattered though I may be. The very sounds of her many names invoke a thick coating of holy onto my tongue and fill my mouth with the smoke of unwritten hymns. I say the words over and over again, the syllables of her, and feel deeper resonances descend through my head and into my belly, a sacred planting, a recognition. This is prayer. I am seated in early morning hours of darkness. There is the wind, the blackness of lowering wintered skies, and I in my body. I am listening. I am still. I gaze into the glowing reflection of her dark face by candlelight, gazing back at me, a challenge and an invitation. Her silence, her stillness, is both unnerving and comforting, a solid place to lean into if I dare. Those shifting shadows in my line of sight, those tongueless oracles that speak in the presence of fog, are calling me home to smoke-saturated sanctuaries long forgotten and the waiting days of she who sees me. I remember her. She grows me inward and down rather than upward and out. She is the shape-shifting provocateur, the midnight incendiary who edges me closer to that jagged ledge than is comfortable. I stare the precipice down, unsure if I am daring it or myself to melt away. This is the choosing of fate under the fierce gaze of unapologetic eyes. She waits for me at this edge. She always has and always will. To cling fearfully against these familiar crumbling walls or lean into thin air and windward ways, this is the decision, again and again, cycle upon cycle, layer upon layer. Destruction lies ahead either way. That is her way, to dismember, dissolve, deconstruct. For she is both fecundity and barren lands, leaching the last drops of moisture from desolated ground, ferocious in her thirst. Yet her destruction is a sacred one, not reckless violence for the sake of violence. No. She is tearing down every pretense, every illusion, every hidden hurt that becomes just one more excuse to retreat from the knowledge of who I am and who I have always been, in any and all lifetimes. The fluttering I feel at my core is the first subtle movements of recognition beginning to grow and take hold. I am raw with the stretching, but so deeply filled. I remember her now. I remember me now. We are the same inky blackness, the same smoky tang in the air, the same unspoken words. This priming in the body is both an emptying and a filling up, coming into closer contact with divine presence, a dark mother, a holy Madonna, seated in wisdom. This is me approaching her.
Thank you, Sarah. Oh, that was
my pleasure, Layla.
Thank you. So, Sarah, where can people find you and how can they work with you? Where can they get your book?
So I am at saralarosa.com, and people can find links to purchase my book from that website, as well as information about me, a bit of my journey. My blog is located there, and I write on that every Friday. I'm also accessible on Facebook and Instagram, and my handle is at Her Strange Angels, the name of the book. And working with me is going to become an offering I make available this coming year. So in the first 3 months of 2017, I'm going to begin offering intuitive reading sessions for women. And I'm going to be offering a mentoring program beginning in March. And this is actually the first time I've announced that out in public. So I'm really excited. I'm really excited about that. I'm currently structuring it and creating that right now. So that will show up on my website in the next little while. And I'll start making announcements for that on my website. And Facebook and Instagram fairly soon. So that will be a way for women to work with me individually. I'll have several different ways to do that. So keep your eyes open. Stay tuned for that. I'm excited.
It's time. I'm so happy to hear this.
It is exciting. I'm looking forward to it. It's a new thing. It's a new day.
So we'll make sure to post the links to everything, all the links of where to find you, where to purchase your book, your blog, and some other things that we talked about during the conversation. Sarah, thank you so much for this incredible conversation. It was holy. It was soul medicine. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be re-listening to this episode a lot and diving back. Diving back into Her Strange Angels and holding it even tighter. Thank you so much for your wisdom.
Oh, thank you so much, Layla. It's been an honor to be here with you today.
Thank you. So to our listeners, if you enjoyed this conversation as much as I did, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and YouTube. And if you would like to receive more Wild Mystic Woman magic through email, head on over to wildmysticwoman.com and sign up for the temple letters. Goodbye, sister queens.